Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody say bless, say bless, say bless.
Yeah!
Guys can join us on this Monday evening. We're blessed to be here. And again, for those that are listening to us on internet or online on Blog Talk Radio, we just want to say thank you. And for those that are on our phone lines, we just want to say good evening. And hopefully you guys had a blessed weekend and you woke up to a wonderful day to start the week off on this Monday. I am Derek, and I have my lovely wife, Miss Kay, online this evening. And again, we just want to say welcome to the D&K Bible Break. With that being said, Miss Kay, you want to say hello?
Hey, good evening, everybody. Happy Monday. Happy to be back.
Yes, it seems like it's been a long weekend, but we're back, ready to roll, ready to go. First, we want to give honor to the Lord, who's the head of our lives. We want to just thank him for waking us up in our right frame of mind, giving us the activities of our limb. Also want to just thank all of my sponsors, the Royal Caribbean, Pizza Hut, Outback, Finish Line, and Pepsi, and Brentwood Publishing. We just want to send a special thanks to all of those people that is supporting us, and for all of you that out there that supports us every week on every Monday, and not just Monday, but Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturdays and Sundays. We just want to say what's up. Before we get started, there's a few announcements I have to say. First and foremost, that this week I'm not going to say a rough week, but it was a long week. And, sort of like what we're going to talk about a little bit later. But we have the one of the announcements I would keep forgetting to talk about is the Chaos Cruise. And if you want to go on the cruise with us, we're going to Nassau, Bahamas, and the Coco Cay on August 27th to August 30th of this year. I'm telling you, if you want to go, the best thing you can do is call the Royal Caribbean, and I'm going to give you the phone number, 1-800-465-3595. 1-800-465-3595. The group number is 397-0438. There's been some people who've already put a deposit down. I don't know who you are, but we just want to say thank you. And I can't wait to see you on August 27th. And for those that want to go, again, when you call that number, they give you all the information. And if you want to go with two people, a couple, is $863. If you want to split it three ways, however you want to do it, you can make the arrangements by calling that number, and they will give you the chaos discount, because if you do go, each room will get $100 cash you can spend on ship. So it's really seven. You're going to get $100 back. So
when you say cash, they're going to think it's cash, but it's like a card to use on the ship, is it not?
Right, ship credit.
That has some money in it.
Yeah,
ship
money. Credit.
Right, you can't take it off the ship and use it as cash.
Correct.
Can you repeat the phone number and the group number back? And also, do you have to have a shot before you?
All that right as of right now, no, you don't have to have the shot. But when you call, and you can ask all the questions, and the reason they're telling me that you can ask the questions to them, because day by day, week by week, things may change. But as of right now, you don't have to have the shot. But they will be taking, you do have to do a temperature check, that I know, and masks will be required. And 6 feet will still be required, as far as I know, as of today. But like they said, if you just call that number, I'm pulling it back up. To call that number, it is 1-800-465-3595. 1-800-465-3595. The group number, and they're going to ask you what group are you with. You just tell them you're with the Chaos Cruise. It is 3-9-7-0-4-3-8. Now, I'm just going to give you a little bit about the cruise. If you're coming on the cruise, for everyone that comes on the cruise, not only do you get the $100 ship credit, ship for the ship, you'll also get, and it's just from me and my Chaos team, you'll be getting a Chaos Cruise t-shirt as well. And if you book soon enough, you'll have your name on the back of the shirt. We're going to try to get this done. So the sooner you book, the sooner you can get your shirt, which we'll give it to you that first Friday night at dinner. You'll get your Chaos t-shirt with your name on it. So as soon as you book, just let me know. And, you ain't even got to let me know. They'll let me know, and we'll make sure that you'll get a shirt as well. There was something else. I can't remember it. But if it comes to me, I'll let you guys know. But just call that number, make your reservation, and we'll be good to go with that. So with that being said, we're going to go ahead and next Monday, we're going to have a special guest next Monday. I'm looking forward to this, and I'm telling my team, and we'll be promoting it after tonight. We're going to have a wonderful couple, the elder Bluette and his wife, Evangelist Bluette. They're going to take over D&K Bible Break next week, and they're going to come in their own way. And whatever they go, wherever they decide to go, I'm letting you know it will be a blessing to hear it.
Amen.
So with that being said, that's going to be next week, next Monday at 7 o'clock, same time, same channel. We'll be on, we'll introduce them, and we're going to let them come in their own way. So with that being said, we have Elder Bluette and Evangelist Bluette. And they have a wonderful testimony. I'm going to talk about that here in a little bit, a great testimony. And they're just full of the word. So if you want to be blessed, I'm telling you, next Monday will be a treat for us to sit back and let them take over. They're members of the Praise Tabernacle where we fellowship at. And people at Praise Tabernacle know what's about to come on Monday. I want them to come in their own way because they've been a blessing to me. Elder Blue Wed on Tuesday night. He's just been a blessing for this past year. His knowledge, his knowledge and the way he can break the word down has really helped me over the last year, and his wife the same. Just beautiful people in Christ, real people in Christ. When I say real people, they're real. I don't want you to think you're getting an artificial type of Christian couple. And what I mean by artificial is, you know, them couples, they can just quote scriptures and they know it by memory. But, you know, when I'm telling you, you get some fire, you're getting people who don't just know it, they lived it. And then that lived it, they're living it as if we go on day to day. And, you know, you get a lot of people who, and I'm not saying that to put them on a pedestal, but there's very few people that I've met in my walk with Christ who live what they preach and preach what they live. It may not be traditional. It may not be the way you think it ought to be, but it's the way the Lord gave it to them.
Amen.
And that's what I'm going to say. That's all. I was listening to Evangelist Blewett yesterday, and I asked one, how did you know to do that? And this is, don't come with an instruction book. Sometimes you just got to listen to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will lead and guide you to do what you need to do at the time. You need to do whatever it is you need to do. And sometimes that's different than listening to artificial people who can just quote a scripture but can't tell you nothing about the scripture. But I'm going to leave that alone. That's for a different day, a different time. But we're going to get into the word tonight briefly. I'm going to open us up with prayer, and we're going to get into the topic, and then we're going to flow, and hopefully we can get it, get in and get out real quick. But Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just want to thank you right now. We want to thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for what you're getting ready to do for us. We want to thank you for allowing us to be a vessel to be used by you, Lord. And Father God, if there's anything in us that's not like you, we ask that you cleanse it up right now. And Father God, if we've done anything that we may know about and things that we may not know about, we ask for your forgiveness right now. And Father God, we ask that we be hidden behind a cross where you may be seen, Father God. Father God, give the listener the ear to hear your word, Father God. And I'm going to be a hearer of your word, but also be a doer of your word. And Father God, we ask these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm going to talk about something, and when I say what I'm going to say tonight, coming from where I'm coming from, what do you do when you're just tired? How do you go when you don't want to go no more? And what I mean is sometimes, you know, in life, you just get tired. You know, I feel tired tonight. I feel mentally, spiritually, emotionally, I'm just drained. And yet, I still want to do what God wants me to do, but I'm just tired. What makes you want to go on? Also, what makes you want to go on when you're just tired and you don't see the results you want to see? Now, we love the Lord, we love Christ, but sometimes the flesh, our flesh, gets tired. And sometimes spiritually, you just don't know where to go. It's just like you're reading and you get that sleepy spirit, or you're trying to pray and you can't seem to concentrate. What do you do when this happens? And I'm going to start with that question. And I believe every believer goes through this. I just think we don't like to talk about it because we want to be a little bit fake and be like we on spiritual high all the time. So tonight, real briefly, we're going to talk about what do we do when we get tired. How do we make it to the next minute, the next hour? How do we regroup? How do we pull ourselves up and continue to move on and believe that Christ is still in control of the situation, even though it looks bleak, even though it looks rainy, even though it looks cloudy? How do we pick ourselves up to take it to the next level? That's what we're going to talk about tonight, and I'm going to turn it over to Kay for a minute, and see what she has for us.
Well, I'm going to just go into last week. So last week was like, it was a stressful week for me. And I know it was for my husband as well. My daughter was admitted into the hospital on the 23rd, which was a Friday. I went to work, and by the time I got off of work, she just couldn't take no more. So we went to the ER, and I'm thinking, okay, they're going to maybe keep her overnight and give her some fluids. So they was like, no, we're going to keep her in here a couple days, And I'm like, okay, so Sunday she'll get out. We get to go home, relax, and, you know, get ready for the week. They just like, we need to keep her in for a few more days. So it just kept going on, and I'm like, Lord, I was physically tired because I was driving from our house to the Children's Hospital of Atlanta. It was like about a 45-minute drive. And I was doing that. I'm going to work, and then I was driving there, and then sometimes I get off of work, I would go there. It was very exhausting for my body. Not only my body, but my mental, my emotional. Everything was just exhausted because I don't know what's going on with my baby, and they're like, okay, we need to do more tests. So it was just one thing after another. And then I'm sleeping in the room with her some nights, and I'm hearing her moan and wake up, and I'm like, this is not right. And they couldn't give her no medication but Tylenol, and that wasn't doing nothing. And I'm like, she's in pain. She's moaning. She doesn't want to push the button. I'm pushing the button. Somebody needs to come in here and help my baby because she is, you know, crying in here. So it was very stressful. Not only that, we were preparing because we had to speak on First Sunday, which was yesterday. And the whole week I'm telling my husband, I can't seem to get my mind, you know, settled to even study. So it was like not only was I tired mentally, physically, emotionally, I was tired spiritually. Now, a lot of people say, well, that's the time you should have been studying more. You know, you should, that's your quiet time. You should have been doing more studying. And I'm like, you could say that, but when your child is in pain and you're sitting right there, it's hard to get my mind to study. We did more looking at Lifetime than I did anything else, or the cooking shows, because we like watching cooking shows. So we did more than that than anything, but it was also a time for us to just chill and be together. And, you know, so she know that her mom is there, even though she's 18 now, but she's still my baby. So it was very mentally, emotionally, spiritually, all of that. And what I learned in that experience that, you know, a lot of times as a mom, I can only speak for as a mom, there's a lot of guilt when it comes to you taking a break or you getting some rest. And I'm that type of person. I'm like, I need to get this done. I could be doing this. I could be doing that. I don't really rest like I should rest. But when I go to sleep, I go to sleep. I don't want you to not get that part. When I go to sleep at night, I'm out. But during the day, like yesterday, I actually took an actual nap in the middle of the afternoon. I don't normally do that, but I'm learning to rest. You got to rest because a lot of times we get so overwhelmed with doing this and doing that and studying and all of that. All of that is great, but the Lord tells us that it's okay to rest. And as children of God, I just want y'all to know it's okay to rest. If you're tired, the Lord knows. Now, if you're just being lazy, he knows that too. So he knows if you're tired. It's okay to take a break. It's okay to just chill and be like, okay, I'm not going to do anything. So that's what I learned in my experience. And I also learned, even though the diagnosis that we got is not what I really wanted, but God is yet in control. There's nothing that's happening that's not out of his control. So at the end of the day, we still give him the glory, and we're going to still do what we're supposed to be doing in him. Ain't nothing stopping. We just took a little rest. That's what I want to add. You got anything to say, husband?
Yeah, okay. You want to add your scriptures too, or you want me to go ahead before we go there?
Well, you know, let me give a couple of scriptures if I can. Matthew 11, 28 through 30, it tells us that God will give us rest for our soul. And it's okay to rest, like I said. And there's another scripture that says, come with me by yourself and get some rest, Mark 6 and 31. We are allowed to rest. We are allowed to just settle in the Lord. And even if you just lay there and just settle in the Lord, let the Lord speak to you and just chill. You don't always have to be doing something and going somewhere. And we need that mental break. There's so much going on in the world. We need to take some time to just rest. Go ahead, Hudson.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's very important because we do get tired. And but when you're connected, and see, this is the thing that was dealing with me all week. And I want to thank when we went to Bible study on Tuesday. All this really started on Tuesday. But what I got comfort in, it was when we went to Bible study on Tuesday. And Elk Taylor was teaching. He just happened to be teaching, you know, the lesson on Tuesday was really for me, you know, being troubled on every side. And it just resonated with me, and it just gave me a new energy. I was still tired, but it gave me a new energy. And then listen to the team that's on our Bible study team talk and listen to them minister to me as if it was just them ministering to me. And a lot of times what we do get tired, sometimes we do so much ministering, we need someone to minister to us. And I'm not talking about agree with us or try to give a solution to the problem, just minister. And that's what got me through when Elder Taylor was ministering. He was hitting some things that I needed to hear. So with that being said, it gave me comfort to know that the Lord was still with me, because it was coming from other people who didn't know what was going on. And when you surround yourself around the right people, the Lord will give you what you need in that time of rest to rejuvenate you. And I really just got one scripture for tonight, and it's in Galatians 6:9. And again, Galatians 6:9, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And even though we're tired spiritually, because I'm you know, emotionally, we got a lot of stuff going on, and there's a lot of things moving, and emotionally you get tired. But yet the bigger picture is, because I'm doing God's will and not my will, I can see the excitement. I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. But I got to maintain my spiritual vision and not my natural vision, because naturally I'm tired. And when your body's tired, your body's just tired. There's nothing you can do. But spiritually, when you're connected to the Lord and you start to see yourself get tired, you look in your spiritual eyes and you'll be able to see the strength. You'll be able to see the outcome of what's getting ready to happen. And once you can see the outcome, you get rejuvenated, you get excited, because you know what the end is going to be. Regardless what it seems like right then and there, the end is not what your natural eyes see, it's what your spiritual eyes see. And if you can see it in the spiritual sense, you'll be a whole lot better. At least I know I am. And I'm just saying, it's okay to be tired, but make sure you surround yourself around good people that knows when to give you a word, when they're teaching or when they're preaching or when you're listening. Sometimes God just bring people over to you, and it don't necessarily have to be a scripture. It could just be a conversation. It could be what they went through. It will get you over the hump. I've seen it happen. It's happened to me too many times. And again, the Lord put on my heart, and I'm just going to say this. For next week, the Bluettes will be on. The reason I keep referring to them is because so many times over the last month, if it wasn't Evangelist Bluette, it was Elder Bluette, giving me a word just something. And that something will just take you to a whole nother level. It's like a B12 shot. That's why it's important you have to surround yourself around real people who are connected to Christ. And I said this yesterday. There's a lot of people who know Christ, who's around Christ, but they're not connected to Christ. And we have this language where we talk, and everyone that's been in church know what I'm talking about. We can say, we can talk church. It's like a language. Church talk should be a language taught in school. It should be. Because we know how to quote scriptures, but we don't know the power of the scripture. We just know what the scriptures say on the piece of paper. But when you know what it said and has meaning to you, when you talk to someone, you feel the meaning. Am I making sense? I hope I'm making sense. I know that's how I felt. I know that's how I feel when I hear other people talk about the Lord and what they're going through. It makes sense to me. So it's important that we surround ourselves. Because when you get tired, you're going to need some people to replenish you, to give you a B12 shot, a word. And again, the language, what I'm saying, is not someone that's going to sit there and tell you, oh, this is what you need to do. We all know what you need to do, but sometimes you just need that person to give you that word from the Lord because they're connected. And because they're connected, they know you're connected. It's so much easier to receive what they're saying because you know that they're real with what they're talking about. They're just not around Jesus. They're not just quoting cliches. They're not just saying scriptures. And in the church today, which we live in, that's what they do. We know how to say amen. We know how to hallelujah. We know how to say giving honor to the Lord. We know all the cliches to say. But when it comes time to giving a word to someone or ministering to someone, sometimes you got to do a little bit outside the box. And all through Jesus' ministry, he did things outside the box. When he healed on the Sabbath day, they was asking, why did you heal on the Sabbath day? Because Jesus was telling them, hey, I don't have, when it comes to Christ, there is no rules. And I know a lot of people are going to not agree with me when they said there is no rules. When the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, that's what you're supposed to do. If he tells you to jump at 3 o'clock in the morning, you're supposed to jump at 3 o'clock in the morning. If he tells you to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and pray, that's what you're supposed to do. And you can't check with the check to see if it's okay. I can't call my wife, am I supposed to pray at 3 o'clock in the morning because I'm up? Am I supposed to call my bishop or my pastor and say, well, I'm up at 3 o'clock, am I supposed to be, do I need permission to do that kind of stuff? Well, if you've been in church long enough, that's pretty much what they do. There's a time to shout. There's a time to pray. There's a time to weep. There's always structure. And then people say, I know people saying, well, the Lord, you know, do things decent in order. When it comes to certain things in business, yeah, you do things decent in order. But God can move at any moment, at any time to him. There was no rules that he followed. When he healed on the Sabbath day, they thought it was a rule that you weren't supposed to do nothing on the Sabbath day. But Jesus healed on the Sabbath day. I feel like I'm talking too much, Rod. Go ahead.
Well, there's another scripture, Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. So there is power in unity. So we do got to carry each other's burdens. So when I'm going through something, it's important that I do have people around me that can give a word. And a lot of times it could be a word that you don't want to hear, but it's a word that you need. And it's important to make sure that you have those people around you. So you may feel weak, but, you know, in Christ we are strong. We do things in Christ. That's where our strength comes from. And it's important to, if I could say it like this, a lot of times we get burnt out. Let's just keep it real. We get burnt out because we're doing too much. We go in here, we go in there, we just got too much going on, and we get burnt out, and it may cause us to get an attitude, we get quick tempers, and there's no inner peace. And a lot of times when there's no inner peace, it's going to show up in different areas of your life. So it's important that you take the time to let the Lord replenish you, like you just said. Let the Lord replenish you. And not only let the Lord replenish you, sometimes he has people already in place to replenish you as well. So make sure that you be open to receive, whether it's constructive criticism or if it's somebody that's, you know, a lot of everything ain't going to be rosy. But if you need to hear the truth, just take the truth in stride and keep it going and let the Lord do what he needs to do.
And I just want to say this because, you know, I feel I need to go here. And this will probably happen in a couple of weeks when I talk about men. But when I say it's okay to get tired, it's okay when you can't, you know, sometimes if you own a car or if you have a house and you need your house maintenance, and I can just speak this because I'm going through this right now because we're having a lot of work done in this house. And I'm a little upset because when I called my maintenance people, and I got me a maintenance team right now. I didn't have one before, but I got one now. And we're walking around this house, and there's a lot of stuff that's not right. And the people that own the house did a jacked-up job in repairing the things that we needed to repair. But now I got me a crew in here who know how to fix things. That's why I say it's important who you have around you, because when you get tired, they're going to restore you the way you need to be restored. The difference in what I'm saying right now is there's a lot of people who don't have, they have bootleg mechanics, bootleg Christians, bootleg church folks, and they're just giving you cliches to hold on to. Then we wonder why we're cussing folks out, because the word they're giving you isn't nothing that you can hold on to. They've just been giving the same cliches for 20 years because they don't have the word in them because they're not connected to the Lord. So, yeah, I'm talking about church folks. Church folks. I don't care if they speak in tongues. I don't care if they hold titles. But when it comes time to hearing a word, it should be very easy for them to minister to you because they're fixing something that they've been instructed to, from the Lord. See, all that's why you got to be, it's important. So when you do get tired and you do get replenished, you know you're getting replenished by the Lord, not by some bootleg mechanic or bootleg Christians. And there's a lot of bootleg, I'm not calling Christian, bootleg church folks who can give you a bunch of cliches, who know how to dance, who know how to say a couple scriptures. But when it comes time to ministering to you, they're giving you bootleg conversation. And then when you try to use that bootleg conversation at 3 o'clock in the morning, you looking like Boo Boo the Fool because the Lord ain't listening to you because it ain't making no sense. That's why it's very important when you surround yourself around people. It's important when they speak to you or minister to you that your spirit on the inside feels that. Replenishing you. And I'm just going to say this because I'm just going to go here. A lot of church today, in a lot of churches, all you have is church folks, and you have religion, and you have tradition. You don't have the true word of God being presented to the individual when they're going through trouble. Now, going to Sunday, listening to the message, okay, that's the step in the right direction. And you have to take that and go home and study it for yourself. There's some home improvements you have to do before you can bring the mechanic in. There's some cleaning up you have to do before you can have someone else come in and try to fix some stuff. Before my mechanics come into my house, I have to make sure my house is presentable. It has to be clean so they can work and do what they have to do. Now, spiritually, I'm saying the same thing. It's okay to be tired. Make sure you're surrounding yourself around the right people. Make sure you're growing spiritually. Make sure you're asking the right questions. Make sure you're doing your part. Because when you get tired, like I said last Tuesday, when I heard the lesson being taught, it was specifically for me. I can't speak for everybody else. I don't know what everybody's house is like. I don't know what everybody's vehicle is like. But for me, it fixed me. It gave me the umph I needed to get me to Sunday. And I preached hard Sunday.
And I'm not saying just me, it's just it's what I do. And I have to come back tonight and to do what I got to do tonight because I have thousands of people listening to what I have. I can't get on here and say I'm tired. I can't make no excuses and be like, I can't go on today. I can't do because there's too many people watching what we do and how we do things. And as soon as I start to say, I can't do this and I can't do that and make excuses, the Lord is going to remove me from where I'm at and take it away because I'm complaining I can't do it. And that's why I watch a lot of people in church. How much are they available to do for Christ? See, I want to be available. I want people to say, Oliver, you're doing too much. That's what I like. I like when people say, you're doing too much, because you can never do too much for Christ. You can never do too much for Christ. And then on top of that, it's not Derek's will, it's his will. And see, we ought to start making it about the Lord's will. Well, when you make it about the Lord's will, even though you get tired, he continues to bless you in other areas of your life that I can't even explain. So if you're doing what the Lord is telling you to do and you're tired, oh, he's going to let you rest. He's going to make sure you get your rest, and he's going to replenish you if you surround yourself around the right people. And I know I'm saying a lot, and I know I just want to make it plain so everyone understand what I'm saying. I don't want to try to be deep. I don't want to be like I got it all. But something that they don't teach you, you have to surround yourself around good Bible-believing people that can put you in the right direction. Go ahead, wife. I got one more thing I want to say, and I don't want to be talking all the time. So go ahead, because there's another point I want to make.
Okay, if I can, I want to read Exodus 17, starting at verse 8. And this is the Amalekite. Amalekites defeated. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. And Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. So I read that because, as you can see, Moses grew tired. His arms, I'm sure, you know how you're working out or you're holding something and your arms start burning and it's like they hurt so bad. But he had help. He had one on one arm and one on the other. And as long as his arms were held high, the battle was being won. So as long as you have somebody to the left, somebody to the right, and your hands are lifted up high to the Lord, you can win the battle. You just got to have somebody help. You can't do it by yourself. I know everybody say, I'm doing me. It's all about me. I don't need nobody's help. And we all need somebody at some point in our life. So don't make it so hard to where you can't get help. Seek godly counsel. Get somebody in your corner that can lift you up when you're tired. If the day is going to come, if it ain't already came, you're going to get tired. So I just wanted to add that scripture in there. I think you on mute. I can't hear you, husband. You muted yourself.
Yeah. Let me stop you right there, because I don't want you to. I don't want people to think we're giving them an excuse to lean on other people. And what goes on in the church today? And I wish I had time to talk about this and even teach this, because it is an easy breakdown. You just got lazy people in the church at the top and at the bottom.
Well,
let me get this out the way. The people that knows what they're doing when they get tired, it's not a thing. It's not a bad thing to get to read. I don't even think that when you get tired, it's bad, because it's not. It's actually good that you relax so you can hear what the Lord is saying. It's a good thing. Being tired in the Lord is a good thing. That means you're working for the Lord. You're doing the Lord's will. And when you're doing the Lord's will, you got to be listening to what he's telling you. So you got to be surrounded by right people. And when you get tired, it's a beautiful thing when people can reinstate. It was beautiful when I heard Tuesday night's Bible study. It was a beautiful thing for me because it was for me. And I was tired. And it uplifted me. Now, a lot of folks take time off from doing what they're supposed to do because they're tired. See, I could call my pastor, "Pastor, I'm tired, I need a break." And I would never do that because punk move. Yeah, when people start complaining what they're doing in the church and they got to go complain to everyone what they're doing, it's a punk move. You ain't doing it for the Lord, you're doing it for show. And that's what I don't want people, because I've been in church a long time, I know how these games are played. "Yeah, well, brother, you take a break." No, I don't need a break, because the Lord didn't take a break when it came for him doing what he did. I don't need a break. But you do need to be refilled. I agree. All that is true. But what we do today, and all you got to do is listen for a while, everybody want to be on break. "I'm just tired. I've been doing this." And well, what you supposed to do? If we're running for Jesus and we're doing his purpose and his will, you're going to get tired. Everybody get tired. Jesus got tired. Everyone get tired. I mean, it is what it is. But are you in the right position to rise yourself up to do what God wants you to do? That's why the church is powerless, is because they're not connected. They're, like I said yesterday, and the Lord really dealt with me on yesterday's message for a long time, because people are around Jesus but not connected to Jesus, and there's no power in that. And it was right there in the Word of God. It tells you that right there in the Word of God. There's no power. When Jesus came back, the man, Mark 9:14-29, the man with his son said, "Lord, I went to your disciples." And I don't mean to go back to what I said yesterday, but the man with the son that was sick, the man, I went to the church. And he couldn't heal. They couldn't, because they were tired. They did all these miracles around, and they could not heal this boy because Jesus wasn't there. So I'm going to put it back. Praise God. Our bishop wasn't in church yesterday. So was it different? Because if it was different, then you're there for the pastor. If it was different, you're there because you just want to be seen by him. It ain't got nothing to do with Christ. Because if you came in there with the mind on Christ, it doesn't matter who's there, because you're going to be serving Jesus. And when you're serving Jesus, yeah, you're going to get tired. You're going to want to be around people who know Jesus, who's connected to Jesus, because if he's connected and I'm connected, he's going to tell you what I need without even telling you my problem. And that's the beautiful thing when you're living for Christ. Every Sunday, I can go to church. I know my pastor is going to be ministering to me. I ain't got to tell him a word of what's going on in my house. The word is going to come because the Lord is using him to minister to me. I don't have to talk to him about the word. He didn't already put it out there. I know what's going on in my. That's the way it's supposed to work. But what we do is we hear the word, we take the yellow highlighter, we mark it, and we close the book. And we may write a little note here or there. But we don't study it. We don't apply it. And the same word that he's preaching right then and there is what you need to be applying to the situation that's going on in your life. And then when you do a little bit of the work, it's like you said, if everyone right now took and lifted their hand up and held their hand up, just lifted it up like you was surrendering to the Lord, hold it up there for a few minutes and see don't it get started to hurt. See don't it get tired. That's when you know it's working. That's when you feel the pain. That's like when a person starts to work out and their muscles start to hurt, that's when you know you're doing something. If you're walking up a hill, you're walking around the park and your legs start to hurt, that's when you know it's working. So when you get tired, that's when you know you're doing God's will. So when you come up, "I need a break," Pastor can't find you. I'm too busy. I can't do. I was an athlete back in the day, and when I played ball, me and my brother were just talking about this. We played offense and defense, so we was in the game the whole time. We played offense, defense, special teams. The only time I came out is if we scored a touchdown and we had to kick the ball off. That's when I came out. The only time my brother came out is we scored a touchdown and he had to kick an extra point. We played the whole game. And if we wasn't in the game, we were standing right next to the coach. Hey, I need to hurry up and get in. Hurry up and put me in. And at the end of every game, we was tired. And regardless of win, lose, or draw, we was tired, but we had to replenish ourselves on our days off. We played Friday. The best days were Saturday and Sunday because we got replenished. Moms fed us. We felt good. We relaxed because your mama will know how to take care of you. Same thing with the Lord. You're in a game. You're on the battlefield for the Lord. You're battling. You're going to get tired. Take some time off. Go get some of that, what you need, and you'll be good to go again. And that's all what I'm saying. I'm just tired of being around people who make excuses on topics. And the thing about it is I really can't say nothing because, you know, I can't say nothing, but I can say it through the word of God because it is what it is. We do get tired, but we're tired because we're doing God's will, not our will. A lot of us is doing our own will, and that's why we're tired. And that's why we need a break. I heard someone that was a Christian say this. I just need to go on vacation to get a break from my reality. It was a Christian that said it. It was a preacher that said it. Well, my reality is the Lord. I don't need a break from my reality. So when you hear people talk like that, you kind of look at them kind of funny. At least I do. And there's nothing wrong with going on vacation. I'm going on vacation pretty soon myself, a couple of them. There's nothing wrong with that. But the Lord has blessed me to be able to do it because I'm working for him right now. Elder at Praise Tabernacle Church, I do Chaos Talk Radio. There's multiple ministries. And with each thing that I do, I'm surrounded with a group of people that I have to minister to. They may not be at my church. They may be with Chaos. They may not be with Chaos. They may be with D&K. There's different type of men. So, yeah, you get tired. The pastor just don't pastor the church. If he works, he got a crew of people he work with. They know him as the pastor. He has to do work there as well. And then in other entities of your family, you're going to get tired. But the question I'm having for everybody else is, are you tired and are you excited is the question. See, because I'm tired, but I'm excited. And at the same time, I'm also disappointed because everybody don't share the same kind of love, passion that I have for Christ. Because you won't outwork me because I'm going to continue to do with the, because I'm trying to get to the place where the Lord will say, well done, my good and faithful son. That's what I want to hear, and I'm going to continue to work till I hear it. I know this may not sound, I'm nitpicking, but I'm not really nitpicking. I'm just trying to get you to be in a place where you surround yourself around good people who will encourage you, who will uplift you when you're going, when you're tired. And they don't have to know your business. You ain't got to tell your business to everybody. But if you're around good, wholesome people, when they minister, they're going to be talking right to you because God is connected to them like he's connected to you. That's how you get through day by day, by day by day. But if you got to, yeah. Well, let me be quiet. Let me stop because I'm going to get myself in trouble.
All right, go on and say what you was going to say, mister. If you talking, we don't hear you, just so you know. I don't know what happened. You still there? All right, I'm not sure what happened to the husband. I don't know if y'all can hear him or if it's just me that can't hear him. But I do have another scripture that I wanted to read. It is Isaiah 40, and we're just gonna do verse 31. So it says, "But those who have hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." So that scripture right there, that's your strength. Your strength and your hope is in the Lord. And as long as you're doing it for the Lord, you may feel physically tired at times, but there is an inner peace that you can't get anywhere else. And that inner peace can only come from God. And then once you experience that inner peace, you'll be all right. You just got to seek God wholeheartedly. You want the wholeness of rest, mind, body, and soul. So the Lord will do it. He'll give it to you. Are you there, husband?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. I don't know. For some reason, you were silent for a while.
Yeah, no, I had to switch mics. No. You know, I got engineers, and they be texting me sometime, and I get caught up in listening to what other people be saying to me sometime. And I don't want to ever make the mistake or give the impression to anyone whenever I'm coming across or whatever. I try to be very simple when I say what I say, but it's just very important. And then I'm just going to say it. I'm around a lot of church people, and a lot of the ones throughout the time that I'm talking or texting with during our show, people who are in different states, and they ask some of the dumbest questions, and I don't understand it. And it kind of sidetracks me sometimes because, you know, it's funny to me that we can be saved, we can be brothers and sisters in the Lord, and we can make some of the most ridiculous excuses in the world why we don't want to serve Christ. And I don't, it's just crazy to me that you can say that, you know, there has to be a balance, and I believe that there should be a balance, but if you're sold out for Christ, your whole life ought to be about Christ. I don't need to get away from my reality that I live every single day. Because if that's the case, then it's not my reality. If it's not my reality, well, then what is it? Is it a show? Am I just pretending? Is it just tradition? I don't get it. And I want every phase of my life to be Christ-centered. And if it's Christ-centered, and if I'm doing his will, he'll give me the desires of my heart. So with that being said, I'm just having a hard time sometimes dealing with people when they want to try to correct me. And not that I can not be corrected, because if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I have no problem being I'm wrong. I have no problem with someone telling me, Derek, you're doing this wrong and you're doing that wrong, because I want to learn and I want to do it better, and I want to be the best at what I do and how I do what I do in Christ. I don't want somebody's philosophy. I just want to be led by Christ. And if I'm doing something wrong and you can tell me I'm doing something wrong, I'll listen to you. But at the same time, I'm not going to listen to no foolishness either. And when people make excuses, then, you know, some people need a break. Okay, that's you. But when I play sports, because I was never in the world, I've always grew up playing sports. I played basketball, played football, I ran track. I did that all year, all way. I was always doing something. And if I can do that for the world, why can't I do the same thing for Christ? Even though I'm older now, why can't I be an older player for Christ?
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah, I said an older player. Huh?
Let me ask you a question.
No, we could go ahead.
So, like, for example, if someone tells you that they're going to take a break, they need to, you know, just take a break from whatever it is that they were called to do. Do you think that it's possible they're saying that not to take a break from the Lord, because we're not taking breaks from the Lord, but maybe it's the people that they are surrounding themselves with. Maybe that's the break that they're talking about. Or I don't want to say maybe that's what they're talking about, but do you think that would be a cause for them to say they want to take a break? Not so much escape, because the Lord is in you. I don't know where you run into if you got the Spirit in you. It should go where you go, and it should lead you. So if the Spirit is in you, if you on the beach, it don't matter that the Spirit of the Lord is there. But do you think it's more so along the lines of people, like they just need to get away from the people?
You know,
not the Lord, but the people.
I'm going to say this, and this just really came to me, and it really hit me yesterday. If you'd asked me this yesterday or Friday, I'd have been like, yeah, it is possible. But now the Lord gave me something yesterday. When you're doing what the Lord wants you to do, he's going to take you to a level where you will leave the people where they're at. They're not going to come with you. So if you're doing what the Lord's telling you to do, at some point, he's going to take you to another level. And when you get to the other level, people can't come with you to that level. They can't do it. I'm witnessing that. Right? People can't be around me right now because the level I'm on. I'm not bragging. I'm not saying I'm better than, but I'm on a level because I'm living for Christ. He's ordering my steps. And when he orders your steps, you go higher and higher and higher. Everyone can't come with you. And like I preached yesterday, them disciples, Jesus didn't take all the disciples to the mountain. He only took three, if I'm three or four with him. The rest of them had to stay down there. It was for a reason he left them down there.
Yeah.
There was a reason he left them down there. So when you say you need a break, well, I'm going to be honest with you. There's some black folks I need a break from. And the Lord just released me from them because he took me to another level. Now they're saying Elder Oliver got church. He think he better than everybody now. No, he just elevated me. And now you want to talk about me by what I'm doing. See, they're not going to talk about what I'm doing on a day-in, day-out basis. They just want to say, oh, he thinks he all that because he preaching. That's the only bad thing they can say. So I done separated myself. Now, do I need a break from them people? I do. And the Lord just put me on another level. And when you go to another level, you leave them people. You don't need a break from them people. Now, they will get on your nerve because we got them in our family. They will get on your nerve because we got them on the job. But when you start to elevate yourself, you move higher and you move away from them. Everyone can't come to my house right now. They can't. We're fixing it up. They just can't come to the house. We're putting too much work into this for them to come in and tear it up with their tradition and their religion and their thought process. When you're being led by Christ, everyone's not going to follow Christ. That's why I said people like Christ, they're around Christ, but they're not connected to Christ. And if you're not connected, you can't go where he goes. So to answer your question, for people who need a break, I don't know what they need a break from. That's just my opinion. Because you need a break, take a weekend. When I need a break, what do? I tell my wife, we need to get out. We need to go. And we go. And when we go, I guarantee you, you're going to have people trying to pull us back because they don't want us to go. We went away for the weekend last summer on one Saturday. We had 23 phone calls in a two-hour span. And you want to know what them 23 calls was for? A diaper. And when you see all these calls on your phone, you start to panic, you get worried, what's going on? And then when you find out, you go through all them emotions, it's like, we did all that for what? And now we're emotionally drained. For what? An exploding diaper. And people can say, be mad all they want. I'm just telling the truth. If you're living for Christ, he's going to elevate you. He's going to separate you. He's going to separate you. You don't need to take a sabbatical. Now, sometimes, yes, you do need to break, take a break, go somewhere with your wife or whatever, go fishing, go do what you clear your brain. That's fine and dandy, but from what I'm hearing, if you ain't pastoring, you only preaching once or twice, this is what I love to do. This is what God called me to do. I love doing this. I love getting up studying the Word. I love being tired. This is what I do. If I did it when I was a kid and played football, track, and did all them sports and still was able to go to church, I'm going to be the same way in my old age. If I need to preach, preach. I need to teach, teach. Olive, I need you to go over there. I'm the man. Now, I'm not going to put all that over my family. There's balance you got to have. But at the same time, you're living for Christ. This is what we ought to be doing. Not only I'm doing it, but my wife needs to be doing it. Okay, now I got to flip off into the kids. They need to be doing it. Then into the grand, they need to be doing it. If you want to leave a legacy, that's the legacy you leave. Winning souls for Christ. That's our business. And the business is good.
Amen.
You quiet over there. Did I say something to shake you up?
No, you good. You good. You are good. I just pray that somebody got something out of the message on tonight, that something was said that you know,
you
make you want to go.
Sound like wasn't nothing said. You, I didn't say it clear enough.
I ain't going to play with you. I pray that something was said that make y'all want to go a little bit harder for the Lord and run a little bit longer for the Lord. That's my prayer. I ain't going to play with my husband tonight because he on another level. So I can't play with him right now.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing that you're saying about me right now, but I'm you're right, I am on one, because I feel that I have the anointing on me right now to say some things, because the truth will set people free. And one of the things that I will not do and I cannot do is sugarcoat the Word of God. Either you're on his team or you're not. But I will say this, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to be done talking, and y'all can say whatever you want about Elder Oliver. I really don't care. When we played, and I'm going back to my football days, because me and my brother have been talking about it, we were watching the draft, and I thought my Steelers did a good job. So we've been talking about football when we played. And there were different types of people that came out on the football team. You had some people who just wanted to be on the team to get a helmet. You had some people who just wanted to be on the team to get in the game for free and get a uniform. You had some people who wanted to actually play. And then you had some people who were sold out to the game. And because I was good, made all state in football, I was sold out. So the reason I played basketball and ran track was to stay in shape for football. I wanted to play, and I wanted to play the whole game. That was my goal, and I've always been the same way. When I told my father I wanted to preach every Sunday, not because I didn't want the other preachers to preach. I was just that enthused. I wanted to be on the ticket. I wanted to prove to the Lord that this is what I want to do. I'm for real with my calling. I'm not going to play with my calling, because if you call me, you wanted me for a reason. And I want to make sure that I show up, that I'm ready to play. I don't want to just be on the team and sit on the bench. And that's what a lot of people do in church. They want to sit on the bench. Now, every now and then, we have what we call a goal line package. And on a goal line package,
we would have people come in who normally didn't play. If they were real big linemen, they would come and put them an extra lineman in to put just for that particular reason. And they were happy with that. Well, you got people like that in the church. They just want to be just for a certain position. You know, like when people come to church for Mother's Day, they only come to church for their mama. That's like a goal line person. That's what you call the goal line. And you hear coaches say, goal line team. Or when they do an onside kick, all hands team. And you only get that every so often in the game. If y'all don't know football, let's talk about baseball. If some kids can't hit the ball real hard or get a base hit, coach will have them bunt. And that's bunt the ball, and hopefully you fast enough to run down there to get on, or the ball get over. That's his specialties. And you got a lot of people in the church that want to be special. Well, if God called you, he called you. And you are special, but he called you to do more than one play. He didn't call you to come to church and sit and analyze Elder Oliver or Sister K or analyze the bishop or analyze the elders or analyze the... He called you to play in the game. That means he called you to get your hands dirty. And whatever that meant or whatever your calling is, that's what he wants you to do. But some people just want to be on the spotlight on Sunday. And I know my son is listening, and I'm going to throw a joke out to him. My son, when he gets put his football uniform on, he likes to look good. He put on all these pads. I don't understand what he got them on for, because when he go in the game, he take them off. So it just bewilders me why he has it on. He wants to look good on the sideline. And if he pray he get in the game, he take them off. Never understood it. Don't understand it to this day. But that's what he does. Put the little neck brace on, make him look bigger. But by the end of the game, all this stuff comes off because he didn't even need it. He was just doing it for show. I'm done talking. I'll be on here all night.
It's funny.
And you women like the same way. Y'all the same way. Y'all get them weaves in you. No, it ain't your real hair. You put it in there because you want that moment. It's just that moment. But it's not yours. But you want it for that. I know I'm going to get in trouble for it. You put them fake nails on for the moment. Oh, it looked good, but it's not yours. But when you do your, the original you show up, that's the real you. And when the real you show up, that's when you can go to work. Can't do no work with all them nails on. You can't get that fake hair wet. Yeah, I hear them emails coming now. My phone texting now. I'm done talking, Mike. Get me out of here.
How you know all that? You don't even know. You don't know nothing about fake hair and fake nails.
How many girls is in this house we live in right now? And who's scared to run outside to get their hair wet?
All righty.
End of conversation. I can't even wash dishes because they don't want to break a nail. Or tie a shoe.
All right, he's throwing jabs tonight. We're going to go ahead and get up out of here.
I'm not throwing jabs. It's the truth.
Before we stir up some more stuff that we don't need to stir up. So
I got a sermon coming. Just be real. Just be real.
On them. Let them do what they want to do. Is their hands, is their hair. So
let me ask you a question then. So you mean to tell me when Jesus come back and you got to take all, he ain't going to even recognize you because it ain't you. It's not real. Is not going to work in the battlefield for the Lord.
The thing about it, though, is you can have all this stuff covering you, all this sin covering you. The Lord knows you regardless. He knows the real you. He knows the real you more than you know yourself. So he knows the real you.
Exactly. So don't cover it up. Just be real.
All right.
Lane done learning with the young people. Keep it 100. Keep it 100.
We're not gonna go there, because if somebody wants to enhance what they got, that's their business. So I'm not going to tell nobody.
I didn't say nothing
to
about you taking to the natural. I'm in the spiritual.
I'm just using a natural to get through the spiritual.
Well, you're talking about people in this house. That's natural. So,
what do you mean?
That's a natural
thing. Well, everybody going natural. I mean, I'm just saying, everybody going natural, but yet and still you got people who cover themselves up. It's not them. And if you put a woman in front of a man and the man think that's what the woman look like, but at the end of the day, the nails come off, the hair come off, the makeup come off, that's really, that's false advertising. And that's exactly what the church do.
They have fake beards. Come on. If you're gonna put it out there, the men have fake beards. I've seen the fun. First of all, they have all of that.
Man or women.
So
I meant you got it right. I'm not saying women.
You gotta cover both sides.
Well, all right, let me take this then. I didn't already cover the women. You got a lot of men out there that act like women, shout like women, cry like women. And if you talk about them, they're going to go tell like a woman. So, yeah, I'm cleaning it up. They wear them tight pants.
I don't know how we got this far.
You won't want me to say it. I'm just going to say it.
Bring it back.
Being real. And it's okay. But what happened is we're in a world where the church is tired and they're not surrounded by real people. It's these fake people with the fake nails, fake hair, fake beards, fake shoes, everything fake about them, and that's why there's no power in the church. I'm just keeping it real with you. And if you don't believe me, I'm going to give you a homework assignment. All you got to do is on a Sunday morning, after you get out of church, go on Facebook or Instagram and just watch some of these churches. You'll see the fake man up there doing stuff that he ain't got no business doing, moving like he ain't got no business moving, and then we going to sit up here and say, oh, that's an awesome job. Huh?
How do we get this far?
Because the Lord is taking me there, because I'm just telling you. Because you know what? I'm tired, but I'm rejuvenated. I'm feeling myself tonight. I'm coming alive tonight because there's so much stuff. People can say so much and do so much. And I understand people want to say, well, this is supposed to be that. This is what it is. It is what is D&K. This is what it is. This is what we do. And yeah, I'm on overtime. I can be on overtime. But what I'm saying is, if you don't surround yourself around the right people, you're going to surround yourself around people who are not real. And if you surround yourself around people who's not real, you're not going to get anything. And I'm going to say this. Yesterday, what happened after church? When we left church yesterday, what happened? We didn't get out of the parking lot, and what happened? You had a conversation with somebody. I'm not going to bring their name up. And we sat there, and we talked to them for a while, and you was in tears, and it was real. Was that not real? There was no fake about any. It was real. It was real. Right. So what I'm saying to you is right. What I'm saying to you is the word that we got after church was just as real as the word we got at church, because we were dealing with real people. There was nothing fake about what was being said or what was being taught. It was real. And when you deal with real people of God that's connected to the Lord, it will draw you to tears. It will strengthen you. It will encourage you. It will take you to another level. Now, because we got to talk about these phony people we got in the church who always want to take a break, who don't ever want to do anything, okay, they're disguised because they know how to dance. They know how to shout. They know how to do this. But at the end of the day, when we left church and we had a conversation with somebody outside of the church, it was real. So when it was real, okay, I can deal with that. That was real. Okay, it helped my spirit. It pumped me up because it was real, and I needed it. And I'm not going to sugarcoat people who come to church, because I've been in church my whole life. I used to be one of them, so I can spot them a mile away, who make excuses and always trying to be deep in the Lord. This won't be deep. I'm not deep. I'm not that brother. Don't try to get me with deep stuff. Some monkey tried to tell me I'm going to be a pastor. And I said, where you get that from? Lord told me. But Lord ain't told me nothing like that. And I'm running from that. I bind that in the name of Jesus. You call me to ask me about a picture you saw and the Lord told you I'm a pastor. That's what the joker said. And put it right there on Facebook. I'm like, I can't believe this. But I laughed about it and kept on moving. But you know what? I'm at a different level. I ain't got to deal with them type of people. But anyway, I'm done, wife. I'm done. I'm sorry to all my sponsors I went over. We're good to go. Go ahead and take us out. Oh, let me say this. Tomorrow night, 7 p.m., we have Praise Tabernacle Bible Study. Bishop Omar Zachary, our pastor, leader, Bible Study, Praise Tabernacle, he's the pastor. Is being run by Elder Richard Taylor. Be out tomorrow night for our Bible study at 7 p.m. Also, Thursday night is Omar Zachary Ministries. You can catch him and his family live on Facebook Live or right here on Blog Talk Radio at 7 p.m. sharp. And I'm quite sure he'll have a word for us on Thursday night. So if you want to get your church on Thursday night, be with us Thursday night. If you can't catch us on Facebook, right here on Blog Talk, same phone number, same website. If you want to go to Facebook Live, go to Praise Tabernacle Church, Lawrenceville, and you'll catch them on live. Omar Zachary Family Ministry Thursday night. Also Sunday morning, Praise Tabernacle Church will be live Sunday morning, 9 a.m. sharp. Same online station, same phone number, and same face station. Praise Tabernacle Church, Lawrenceville. Catch them on Facebook Live. Also, Wednesday night, I got Watchmen on the Wall with Elder Bazaar. And on Saturday, we have Spiritual Sense of Life with Overseer Timothy Jackson. And also Sunday, Elder Bazaar is back on at 5 p.m. for Watchmen on the Wall again. And he's doing end-time teaching about the rapture. So if you want to hear about that, learn about that, tune in on Sundays at 5 p.m. or Wednesday night at 9 a.m. With that being said, I want to thank Pastor Omar and First Lady Pamela Zachary for giving me and Kay the opportunity to bring D&K Bible Break yesterday morning. We had a great time doing it. It was we learned a lot. And I'm just thank the Lord because I told Bishop when I first came there, I want to be used and I want my wife to be used. And that's exactly what we're doing and we're blessed. I don't want anyone to think because we said we were talking about tired that we need a break. We don't need a break. We're going to keep on going because this is what the Lord is pushing us to do. And we in a great place spiritually. So I just want to say thank you for all of that. And don't forget about the Chaos Cruise, August 27th. I get the number out. Go to my Facebook page. Look for the 1-800 number. Text me. I'll be putting it on social media again later on tonight and this week. Also, just continue to pray for us. I know I'm forgetting, and I'm going to let my wife talk about it. It's about the prayer. If you want prayer for the email, do you have that information?
You know what? I don't want to misquote it.
We'll put that out tonight. I know I said I was going to do it last week. We'll put that out tonight. We don't want to say something that's not correct. But be looking. We have a prayer. If you need prayer and you want to contact us, we have an email that you can email us at. I will put that out within the next hour. And we'll put it out again tomorrow night on Bible study. I'll make sure we'll put it out there on all social media sites so everyone can know if you need a prayer, if you want to just talk, you got a question, you can email us, and someone will get back to you from the from our team. We'll get back with you, and you know, whatever you need, we will be able to help you out.
Okay. I have the email now. I had to find it. The email is ptcforchrist@gmail.com. That's the letter P for praise, T for tabernacle, C for church, forchrist@gmail.com, ptcforchrist@gmail.com. So you can send in your prayer requests, your testimonies, all of that will go to that email address.
All right. All right. My engineer in North Carolina at St. Augs College wants to know if I'm in trouble.
That's a good question, engineer. That's a good question.
Are you going to answer the question?
No, I'm not going to answer the question. No, not right
that
now.
That must mean I'm in trouble, but let me let you know. I'm the head HNIC.
There is no trouble. We don't do nothing. We do this for the Lord. So nobody's in trouble. He spoke his peace. There's nothing to be in trouble about. And that's that. So the answer is no. I'm just messing. All right, we're going to get ready to close out. Is that okay?
Yeah, go ahead. I can keep on going if you want me to. You better close this out.
All right. We're going to close out. We held the people hostage long enough for tonight. So let's bow our heads. Father God, thank you for allowing us to come together one more time. Thank you for just being in the midst of this service on tonight. We ask that you restore those who need to be restored, heal those that need to be healed. We ask that you touch the hearts of the people who have lost loved ones in our hometown over this past week. A lot of things going on in our hometown, Warren, Ohio, and we pray for everyone in that city right now, Lord Jesus. We ask that you continue to lift up those mothers who's raising the kids by themselves, lift up those dads who's doing this by themselves, Lord. We know that it's not easy, but we do know with you all things are possible. And we also know that only thing that's going to last is what we do for you. So we love you and we honor you. We praise you. We ask that you continue to order our steps and let your will be done and lead us and guide us throughout the rest of this week until we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good night, everybody.